Reishir, Masecht, Zvachim, Dafnen Vav, Umu, Vatina, Dafnen Vav, Amin Aleph, the second line, Chutz Min Adam. We had learned in the Mishnah that Dam is excluded from the Isser of Noiser and Tamei. Actually, the Mepharshim ask, how could we even say that Dam would be included in the Isser of Noiser and Tamei? Don't we have a rule throughout Shas that Ein Issachal al Isser? And it, given that Dam is already also, we know there's a serious Isser to eat any Dam. Why do we need a Pasuk to teach us that Dam is excluded from these other Yisurim? So one teretz I saw is that the halacha is the Dam Shebishloi, the Dam that's cooked, is not included in the Isser of Dam. And the Mishnah is teaching us, so there is no problem with the Isser of Dam, but yet there won't be an Isser of Nois V'Tame, etc., as we'll learn now in the Gemara, the source for these, for that rule. Another teretz that I saw is that, let's say there is a boy who becomes Bar Mitzvah, or a girl who becomes Bas Mitzvah, on the day, at the same, that means there was Dam, and then a boy or a girl become Bar Mitzvah on Dam that was Noiser or Tamei, and we learn from here that these two Isurim would come together at the moment they become Bar or Bas Mitzvah, so then the Isser of Dam and the Isser of Noiser or Tamei on Dam would be applicable. Teaches us our Mishnah, and now we're going to learn the source in our Gemara why it's not going to be, why Noiser and Tamei do not apply to Dam. So, says the Gemara. But before the Gemara goes into discussion of the Isser of Noiser and Tamei, the Gemara goes back to a Mishnah, goes to a Mishnah Masechta Me'ilah. It teaches that the Isser of Dam, of Me'ilah, does not apply to Dam. Many Rishonim say that we're only referring here to the Issa Daraisa of Dam, but certainly there is an Issa Darabonon to be moil, to have Hanoa from Dam of Kachim. There's those Rishonim that say that when our Gemara is teaching us that there is no Issa Me'ila by Dam, it means both the Issa Daraisa and even an Issa Darabonon. So again, says the Gemara, how do we know that there is no Issa Me'ila by Dam? Amma Ula Amma Kra Vanina Sati Vlachem. The Torah says Kenefesh but Habasa Badamhi Vanina Sati Lachem Amazbeh Lachapa Nafshasechem Shalchem Yehei. It belongs you, to you, and there is no Issa Hanah, there is no Issa Mila on the Dam. The Beir Bishmal Tana, the Beir Bishmal has a different source. Amma Kra Lachaper, the pasuk that we just read uses the words Lachaper regarding the Dam to teach us the kapara of Mesatis, its purpose is for kapara, for loy lemila, and not for meila. Rav Yochanan Amar, Rav Yochanan says, the pasuk says, kadam hu benefesh shechaper. The pasuk adds the extra word hu to teach us hu lefnei kapara, kalach kapara. That we treat the dam before the zrikas adam as we treat the dam after the zrikas adam. Explains Rav Yochanan. Ma acha kapora, after the zrikas adam ein by meila, for as we're about to learn, the halacha is ein lecha daba shenasis mitzvasai. There is no area in halacha where something's mitzvah has been accomplished and it's still meila. So in a case where the dam has already been the dam already has zrikas adam, the mitzvah has been accomplished. So since la acha kapora, there is no meila. Teaches us the braisa that since Dam, the pasuk who, the word who teaches us that it should be treated the same throughout. So if after the kapara it has no, if after the kapara there is no mila, af lifnei kapara, so to lifnei kapara there is no mila. Ema, and as the Ritva explains, here we have a hekesh that the Torah is comparing the Dam lifnei kapara and lacha kapara, that it has the same status. So ask the Gemara if we can learn the Hekesh l'chumra, or can learn the Hekesh l'kula, shouldn't we learn it l'chumra, and therefore say, Ema, we should learn that lach kapara, lifnei kapara, that after the kapara it should be treated like before the kapara, And we should learn that ma lifne kapara, that before the kapara there's mila, so too after ach kapara, it should be yesh b'mila, should be subject to mila. Answers the Gemara, that would be an unacceptable approach how to learn. Because ein lachos davish anasas mitzvosai, there is no area in halacha where the mitzvah has already been accomplished umialimba, and it should be subject to mila. Ask the Gemara, is that true? For a shumas hadeshin, every morning at alois hashachar, they would go to the mizbeach and take off a panful of ash from the mizbeach and put it on the east side of the keves, east side of the ramp of the mizbeach, where it would be ultimately absorbed into the ground. And as Tosfos explains, the absorption into the ground did not happen immediately. So from here we see that even though it was already nasas mitzvah, the mitzvah is to have the ash removed from the mizbeach, still even after it's removed from the mizbeach and placed on the stat near the ramp, it still has an issa me'ila. So what are we saying? That we can't have a situation where nasas mitzvosai, where the mitzvah has already been accomplished, and it should still be subject to me'ila. Isn't Trumas Hadeshin a proof that it's nasas mitzvosai, that the mitzvah has already been accomplished, and it's still subject to me'ila? Many Rishonim say that what the Gemara uses here, the word me'ila, it doesn't mean actually me'ila. It won't be subject to me'ila. Rather, what the Gemara means here is that it's osur b'hanah until it's actually absorbed into the ground. But it's the same point that it's subject, the point is that it's osur b'hanah after it's nasas mitzvosai. Furthermore, Taisha says that this rule that it's still subject and it's osur b'hanah even after it was placed on its spot is only regarding the trumas deshen of the mizbeach hachitzin. But regarding the ash of the Ktoiris that was removed from the Mizbeach HaPnimi, there, once that ash is removed from the Mizbeach HaPnimi, the rule of Dovish Anasas Mitzvosai, that something on which the mitzvah was accomplished, that no longer is an Issam Ila, will be applicable to. So again, ask the Gemara, how could you make a statement that Ein Lecha Dovish Anasas Mitzvosai, or may Alan Ba? Here we see that by the Trumas Hadeshin, Nasas Mitzvosai, and it's still subject to Mi'ila. Answers the Gemara, Mishum Dav Trumas Hadeshin and Bigdei Kuhuna, because the halacha of Trumas Hadeshin and Bigdei Kuhuna are Shnei Ksum Abom Kechet. There are two places in the Torah where the Torah teaches us that even though the mitzvah has been accomplished, it's still subject to an Issa Hanor. And we have a rule throughout Shas, because Shnei Ksum Abom Kechet Ein Melamdin, that the halacha is that the big day kahuna, after they were used, the special big day kahuna that the Kohen Gadol wore on Yom Kippur, the Gemara is learning now, after they were worn on Yom Kippur, one Yom Kippur, they may never be reused, and yet they're osur b'hano. So we have two places where the Torah teaches us that something that the mitzvah has already been done, and yet has an issa hano. So since the Torah teaches us in two places, as Rashi explains many places, if the Torah wanted to teach us that this is the rule in all areas of halacha, the Torah should have said it in one place, and that one place would then serve as the source that we know this is the halacha all over. The fact that the Torah says it in two places, what is the Torah trying to teach us? The Torah is trying to teach us that where the Torah tells us this is the rule, so indeed is the rule. And where the Torah doesn't teach us this is the rule, it will not be the rule. And therefore, by Trumas Hadeshin, by Big Day Kahuna, the Torah taught us that this is the rule. So there, even though the mitzvah has been done, it's subject to Mila. And all other areas where the Torah doesn't say it, so will not be the rule. Ask the Gemara,
This will be understandable according to Rabbanan the Amri, the Nechem Sham, the Lama Chitunim Geniza. And indeed, that the Pasuk teaches us that the big day kahuna that the Kohen God wore in Yom Kippur should be buried and are also Bahana and may not be reused. So we have two Pesukim teaching us the same din. El Rabdoisa Dami Mutar Sayyid Kohen Hedjit, that the big day kahuna that the Kohen God wore 1 year in Yom Kippur may be worn by Kohen Hedjit. The only halach is Bavachli Shtamish Ben Kohen Yom Kippur Acher. It's just that the Kohen Gadol shouldn't wear it another time in Yom Kippur. So there is no Issa Hano, Michael Amemer. So just to follow the Shakl of Atari of the Gemara. The Gemara says that the Pasuk says who? By the dinner of Dan. To teach us that there's one constant status before the Kapara and after the Kapara. And the Gemara is saying that just like after the Kapara there is no Mi'ilah, so too there is no Mi'ilah before the Kapara. Ask the Gemara, maybe we should say just the opposite, that just like there's Mi'ilah before the Kapara, so too will there be Mi'ilah after Kapara. Answers the Gemara, no. After a mitzvah is done, it's never subject to Mi'ilah. Ask the Gemara, but Trumas Hadeshin, the halach is that even after the mitzvah is done, there's an Issa Hanah. Says the Gemara, you can't, that is an exception to the rule. And actually, there are two exceptions to the rules. This pasuk and the halacha by Big Day Kahuna of Yom Kippur that may not be reworn, and the halacha is Koshnei Ksum Avon Kechod Ein Melamdim. Ask the Gemara, but if we say that the halacha is that the Big Day Kahuna of Yom Kippur may be reworn, so we don't have a Shnei Ksum Avon Kechod Ein Melamdim. So before we go further, I saw that the Mefarshim discuss shat in this rule that the Big Day Kahuna of Yom Kippur may not be reused. The Chassam Sofer makes an interesting observation. We know that in the Beis HaMikdash they were very concerned about not wasting any money, and therefore strictly the big day lovin, the begadim that the Kohen Gadol wore in the Kodesh HaKadoshim, which weren't that expensive, they were pure white linen clothing, those were the clothing that were buried and may not be reused. But the big day zog, they were made out of gold, and they had on them very expensive stones. Though by those begodim, it would be a tremendous expense to use them only once and then have to bury them. There is no halacha of geniza. But it really still doesn't answer the question. Here the Kohen Gadol wore them once on Yom Kippur. Why is the halacha that may not be reused? Because even the shita that we just learned, the shita of Rabdaisa says that they can be reused, but he said they can only be reused by Kohen Hedjit during the year. A Kohen Gadol would not be allowed to wear them. Why? So he says a very interesting shot. He says, and the Sfarim explained, that the Rambam teaches us when he speaks about tshuva, he says that one of the concepts of tshuva, one of the ways of accomplishing tshuva is shinui Hashem. Say the Mefarshim, the Rambam doesn't mean when he says shinui Hashem that a person has to change his name. But changing your name till now was Moshi, and you change your name to a different name, doesn't mean tshuva. Shinui Hashem means that you're a different person. You're not the same person that did the Aveira previously. So say this far. If the whole point of the Kohen Gadol going into the Kodesh HaKadoshim on Yom Kippur was to show, to do the Avodah and to accomplish Tshuva, which is the entire point of Yom Kippur. So the Kohen Gadol wore the same clothing that he wore last year. He's the same person. And the Kohen Gadol was trying to impart a message to Klal Yisrael that we should not be the same people whom we were previously. How did that message come across? He wore a different begadim. He's not the same person that he wore the same begadim. Answers the Gemara. We still have a situation of Shnei Ksum Abon Kachav Ein Melamdim. Because, Bishum Dava Trumas Hadeshim the Egla Rufa, Shnei Ksum Abon Kachav, the halach is that if we find a corpse in between two cities, like Naida Mihiko, we don't know who murdered this individual. So the Zakenim of the two cities come and measure which is the closest city to the corpse. and we go through and like La Rufa process where they bring it, where they decapitate a calf's head, and the halacha is that afterwards it's still osur b'hanol. So we have again shnei k'suvim habaim k'echad ein malam, because shnei k'suvim habaim k'echad ein malamdim. So we have two pesukim that teach us that here and only here is the halacha that it's osur b'hanol after the mitzvah was done, nowhere else. Ask the Gemara, Hanich lemandam ein lemelamdim. According to the mandam that says shnei k'suvim habaim k'echad ein malamdim, so we have very good reason why to say only here so is the halacha, nowhere else. El manda omer, according to manda omer, that holds shnei k'suvim habaim k'echad melamdin mayik lemeimer, because even, and as the Mefarshim explained, this opinion holds that even though the Torah could have just said it once, and that should be enough for a source for all areas of halacha, the Torah mentions it two times. Just like we find a concept of milsa da asya b'kal v'choyma, tarach v'kosel l'kro. That's something that we could have logically come to that conclusion through a kal v'choyma. Sometimes tarach v'kosel l'kro, the pasuk mentions it explicitly. Here too, the Gemara is suggesting that if, that even though the Torah taught us the same thing twice, we learn it, the Torah still mentioned it because the Torah wanted to teach it to us two times. So, actually, the Mefarshim say the Gemara could have answered that the man, the Amr that holds that Shnei K'suvim Habaim K'echad Melamdim agrees that Tlos, that if it says it three times, certainly a Melamdim. Because there we can't say that the Torah kept on repeating it. Why would the Torah keep on repeating the same rule? So therefore, explain the Mefarshim that the Gemara could have said that Teretz, but the Gemara says a different Teretz. Here, the Gemara explains, it's a different situation. For trei mi'ut iksiva, there are two specific psukim that the Torah specifies that here, only here, and only here, after the mitzvah is done, should it not be used, nowhere else. The Torah by the Egel Aruf iksiv, ho arufa. The Torah says, ho arufa. Only the Egel Arufa is there halacha after the mitzvah is done, may hanon not be had, nowhere else. V'hasam sif, and there, in the parasha of the Trumas Hadeshin, the Torah used the words v'samoy. V'samoy means that it should be put next to the mizbeach, and again, to teach us, it should be strictly put next to the mizbeach. Only here is the halacha that even after it's placed there, is it also b'hano, nowhere else. Ask the Gemara, we began the shir teaching us no less than three psukim to teach us that a specific halacha is only applicable by dam, that dam doesn't have me'ila. But we have three psukim to teach us the same din. But why do we need three psukim to teach us halachas regarding din? Dam, answered the Gemara, we only indeed will use one pasuk to exclude dam from the halacha of me'ila. The other two psukim, one will be l'mamuta m'mila or m'naisa m'tumma. They'll be used to teach us that the din of naisa and the din of tumma do not apply with dam. How about pigel? What about the halacha that pigel doesn't apply by dam? Says the Gemara, pigel like tzarf kro. That pigel doesn't apply by dam, we don't need a pasuk. The Tanan, for as we've been learning in our parak numerous times, kol sheyesh lematirim bein l'odim bein l'mizbeach, in order for something to be subject to pigel, it has to be something that is a mat, that there's a matin nitter situation, that something is materit, that until that act is done, it won't be mutter. The classical case, as we've been learning in our parak numerous times, is the emrim. The Amram are mutter for haktara, and the basar is mutter, of a carbon is mutter to be eaten after the dam is sprinkled. But it doesn't go the other way. And that's why the dam is a matter, it's not a nitter, and therefore it's not subject to the hilchas halachas apigal, and there is no need for a special pasuk to teach us so. Says the Gemara, there are no less than three psukim that the Gemara is going to be working now with, to teach us the halacha that if somebody
eats kachim, when he's tame, he's chayiv koris. One pasuk says, emalem l'dereseichem, kolish ashiyukim kol tzarekam ala kachim, ashigdishim ne Yisrael Hashem, v'tumasa alova nichrasa nefshim ufana eni Hashem. This pasuk speaks about all kachim. And the pasuk says that if somebody eats kachim when he's tame, rechman l'tzalan he's chayiv koris. Then there's another pasuk that says, v'nefesh ashatoichot basim v'zevach ashlamim ashel Hashem, v'tumasa alova, this pasuk teaches us the same din, but this pasuk teaches us regarding shlom. And then there's a third pasuk, v'nefesh kisiga b'chol tamei, v'tumas adam v'heimet tamei, v'chol sheket tamei v'ochol b'sa'a zevach ha'shlom ha'ashel ha'ashem, v'nechros ha'nefesh imameh. So Amar Rabbi Yochanan, to which Rabbi Yochanan comments, sholosh krisis b'shlom lomo. Why do we need to three psukim to teach us the same din that if somebody eats kachim when his tummy is chayv karis? Answers the Gemara, achas leklal v'achas leprat. And as Rashi explains, what are the shloish esrei midos shatayra v'dreshes behem? It's called davar shayu v'klal v'yotzman haklal olamei lo l'olamei al atzma yotza olamei haklal kulo yotza. If something was in a category and then it was taken out from that category, it's not only to teach about itself, but it's to teach us regarding all halachas. And here too the rule would be, shlomim were included in all of the surim of tuma, and then they were taken out. Why they were taken out? To teach us that only by kotshe mizdeach is there a halacha of tuma, not by kotshe bedekabayis. Tosis points out that here we're using the rule of Tkadosh Yerklam Yotma Klal Lam Lo Lam Atzma Yotza Alam Klal Kula Yotza. Other times when we had Sukkim like this, we used the rule of Klal Prat to Klal. You have to done Elak and a Prat. So ask Tosis, when do we use which rule? Says Tosis, when the two Sukkim are stated one next to each other, then we use the rule of Klal Prat to Klal. But like in the situation that we're discussing, the psukim that we read are not next to each other, then we use the other rule of kodav v'shay v'klav. The achas, and the third pasuk, is coming to teach us dvarim she'en and necholim, the halacha that we learned in the Mishnah, that even if you eat inedible parts of the carbon, when you're tamei, you're chayif. Ask the Gemara, Ula of Shimon. However, according to the opinion of Shimon that we learned in our Mishnah, Dom advarmish en in the cholim, inedible foods, ein chayav en lemishim tumma. So why does this third pasuk come to teach us lesuya mai? Lesuya chattas apnimius. To teach us that chattas apnimius are subject to halachas of tumma. In sakadat chamina, hoy of Amr Shimon, since we learned in our parak that it is the opinion of Rav Shimon. Kol she'en oil mizbech achit, kol she'en oil mizbech achit, kishlomen, ein chayav en lemishim pigol, that the halacha, since the Torah teaches us the pigol, the dinner pigol, by the parish of Shlomim, teaches us, Reb Shimon, that only kabbonis that are brought on the Mizbeach Achitzin, like carbon Shlomim, are subject to the pigol. So we'd say here too, since the Torah teaches us the dinner of tuma by Shlomim, we would say, Mishum tuma nami loy l'chayiv, the dinner of tuma doesn't apply by carbonis that are brought on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, Hamash Malon. That's why Rav Shimon has to teach us that here too it does apply. So as Mepharshim explained, the Gemara is very gishmak. It's only according to Rav Shimon, according to Rabbanon, that the halach, that don't use that limud of saying that it's limited, to that pigul is limited to carbon shlomim or to carbonis that are brought on Mizbeach HaChitzin. There is no reason to think that Tumah would be limited also only to Kabbalists that are brought on the Mizbeach HaChitzin. And therefore, this third mention of Tumah to come to teach us the halacha, that Tumah applies even to foods that are inedible. But according to Rav Shimon, who does hold that Pigel doesn't apply by Kabbalists that are on the Mizbeach HaPnimi, we would think that there is no, that so should be the halacha regarding Tumah. Therefore, this third pasuk comes to teach us that the din of tumah does apply by kabbonis that are brought on the Mizbeach HaPnimi,
And therefore, according to Shimon, there is no pasuk left over available to teach us that the din of tumah even applies to inedible foods. And therefore, indeed, as the Mishnah taught us, Rav Shimon will be of the opinion that tumah doesn't apply by inedible foods. So as we're learning now, there's a machloikis between Rav Shimon and the Chachamim based on how to understand this third pasuk that teaches us the halachas of tumah, if tumah applies by inedible foods or it doesn't. And now the Gemara works with that machloikis to understand that machloikis. Says the Gemara, Naimir Rav Shimon es Mishadar Kalevnot. The Rav Shimon holds only by edible foods is there halachas of tumah. The Rabban holds even by inedible foods. Itma, says the Gemara, Rav Yochanan Rav Shlokish, Rav Lozer, Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina. We have two pairs of Amoroim here. Rav Yochanan and Rav Shlokish is one pair, and Rav Lozer and Rav Yosef, Rav Chanina are the other pair. Chad Mahai Zuga, Chad Mahai Zuga. One of each pair. Chad Amar, Machloikis, Betumas Basar. One of each pair said that the Machloikis between the Chacham and Rav Shimon is only regarding if the inedible food becomes tamei and someone eats that food when it's tamei. Ab tumas aguf, but if somebody himself is tamei, eats these foods when he's tamei, divrei hakol ein loika, everybody will agree that there is no malchus, the charomer, and the other one of, and the other one member of each group will say, k'machloikus bezu, kach machloikus bezu. The machloikis between Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon is in both cases. The Rav Shimon will hold, it makes no difference if the food is tamei or the person is tamei. There is no chiyuv. And the Rabbanon hold, it makes no difference if the person is tamei or the food is tamei, there is a machloikis. My tama, why did Rabbanon say that there is always an isser, tuma, even by inedible foods? Kivin the karinaba, babasa shiiga b'chal tamei, Karinaba v'tumasa olav. The Rabbanon hold, since we learn that there's an iser kodesh, there's an iser tumah when the food is tamei, even when the food is inedible. So they say, just like there's an iser when the food is when the inedible food is tamei to eat it, so too is there a din when the person is tamei that he may not eat food that's kodesh even though it's inedible. That's how, says the Gemara, Rav Temyumi explained the Machloikis of Rav Shimon Rabbanon and the Machloikis Amoroim, how to understand the Machloikis of Shimon Rabbanon. According to the Rav Masna, Rav Kahana have a Masna Hakar. Chad Mahai Zuga, Mahai Mahai Zuga, one of each of the peers, say a Sefer, that the Machloikis between these Amoroim is not regarding how we understand the opinion of the Chachamim, but how to understand the opinion of Rav Shimon. Everybody agrees that according to the Chachamim, the Isser applies whether the inedible food is Tamei, or whether it's a Tamei person in eating inedible Kodesh. The Machloikis is how to understand the opinion of Rav Shimon. Chad Amar, Machloikis B'tumas Aguf. The machlokes between the Tanakam and Rav Shimon is when the person whose tamei is eating inedible food, avo b'tumas basar, but regarding the inedible the food, if the inedible food is tamei and somebody eats it, everybody, even Rav Shimon, will agree. Divrei hakol loiker, Chad Amar, and the other man says no. K'machlokes b'zeh kach machlokes b'zu. The Rav Shimon and the Rabbanon dispute, argue in both cases whether the food is tamei. Whether the inedible food is tamei, whether the person who is tamei is eating inedible food. Amar Rava, says the Gemara, that Rava agrees with this interpretation of Rav Shimon. The Rav Shimon says, makes no difference if the food is tamei or the person is tamei. If it's inedible, there is no issur of tuma. Mistabra, says Rava, commander Amar the machlokes bezu, kach machlokes bezu. The Rav Shimon is over. Always lenient, similar to what we learned a moment ago. Kivin de like Karina Bava Tumas Olav and Nechrasa. Since according to Rav Shimon, there is the pasuk, as we explained in detail a few moments ago, the pasuk from which we learn that inedible food, Kaidish inedible food, that Tamei doesn't have that rule, because according to Rav Shimon, the pasuk We don't have a pasuk available to teach us that rule. Similarly, Rav Shimon will say, "Loi karinim ba v'abosa shiiga b'chotam elo yakol." Ask the Gemara, "V'amamar." But then we learn that the pasuk says, "V'abosar l'rabbis eitzim levoina." That eitzim levoina, even though they're inedible, are subject to tumah. And we also use this pasuk earlier in Amsechta to teach us the halacha that even though normally food to be susceptible to tumah, it has to be mukshir, it has to become wet. The halacha is that it's not, that by kodesh, there's a concept of chivas hakodesh that makes the food susceptible to tumah. So how will Rav Shimon, according to this explanation, understand that pasuk? Answer the Gemara, l'psula bi'alma. Well, the way most Rishonim learn, that the Gemara is saying that Rasha that we've learned earlier is only a smachta ba'alma, it's not an issa d'raisa. It's only an issa d'rabon. Others explain that what the Gemara means, l'psula ba'alma, is that Rav Shimon will agree that there is an issa d'raisa. Rav Shimon will say that it's only in Isser, there is no punishment, no malchus, and certainly no kares. We begin with the Mishnah. Actually, this Mishnah, many Mefarshim teach us it's hard to say this, but this is one of the most primary Mishnayis in all of Shas. I saw that many Mefarshim suggest that one should say this Mishnah before he begins a meal. And others say he should say this Mishnah before he says Birchas Hamazon. And others say one should say this Mishnah before one davens. I saw from the Michas Alazar that he suggests that a person should memorize this Mishnah, and that whenever a person has a free moment when he's not doing something, he should say this Mishnah. This Mishnah has tremendous kayach. The Michas Alazar says that it helps, that if a person should daven properly and that different thoughts should not come to his mind as one davens. So the Eishter should help that our learning this Mishnah should taka bring us Psuris Tovus. Says the Mishnah, L'shem shish dvarim hazavach nizbach. A person, when he brings a carbon, he should have six intentions. L'shem zavach, he should have in mind the carbon that he's bringing. L'shem Zaveach, he should have the intention of the owner bringing the carbon. L'shem Hashem, he should bring the carbon L'shem Hashem. L'shem Ishim, he should bring it for the sake of a fire. L'shem Reach, he should bring it for the sake of an aroma. L'shem Nechayach, and it should be pleasing to God. And the Farshim point out, what's the difference between L'shem Hashem and L'shem Nechayach? So Farshim explain that first a person should have in mind that he's bringing the carbon L'shem Hashem. And after the person has a mind that he's bringing the carbon L'shem Hashem, that it's that not for anyone else, then he should have a mind that it's bringing L'nechoyach, that it should be pleasing to God. As we already learned in the beginning of the Masechta, the two first machshavas of L'shem Zevach and L'shem Zaveach are the crucial machshavas. And as we learned at the beginning of the Masechta, if there was a machshava of Shinui Kodesh, that he had in mind not this carbon, he's bringing it for one type of carbon, he had in mind another carbon, or he had in mind a different owner, L'shem Zaveach, then the carbon is not a valid carbon. We only learned in our first Mishnah the differences by Chatas and Pesach. It's completely disqualified by other Kabbalists. The carbon is not completely disqualified. Eloshloi olu lebalim l'shem chayva. The owner doesn't have his obligation fulfilled. The other four machshavas that I mentioned in our Mishnah are not as crucial. Furthermore, just to review, we learned the difference between the machshava l'shem zevach and the machshava l'shem zaveach. L'shem zevach is a machshava that's applicable by all four avodas: shchita, kabbalah, Halacha and Zrika, whereas the Machshava L'shem Zaveach is only by the Zrika. But we did learn that it could be by the other avodas also, the first Taisvus in the Masechta, that somebody shechted the carbon to do the zrika for someone else, or he did the Kabbalah to do the zrika for someone else. But if he did the shechita, having in mind, I'm doing the shechita of someone else, such as meaningless and has no effect on the validity of the carbon. Furthermore, most Rishonim are of the opinion that even though the Mishnah begins the word Mishnah, the Shem Shish Dvarim has Zevach Nizbach, it speaks about the shechita of the carbon. This halacha is not only regarding the shechita of the carbon, this halacha is regarding all four avoiders, the shechita Kabbalah halacha Zrika. It only mentioned, the Mishnah only speaks about shechita because we know that that's the first avoida. In fact, the Rishonim go on to say that it's not only regarding this first, regarding these four avoiders, it's all even by the Haktorah. However, the Rishonim do point out that even though Haktorah l'chatchila should be done l'shma, the issue of l'shma by Haktorah is much less crucial than is by the Shechita Kabbalah Halacha Zrika, because since we know if the Haktaras Emirim were entirely omitted, the Halacha is the carbon still a valid carbon, and therefore, since it's a valid carbon, the Machshav Haktara is not as crucial. The Rambam holds that these Machshavas are not needed at all by the Haktara. Furthermore, says the Mishnah, V'achatas v'osham l'shem chet. When someone brings a carbon chatas or carbon osham, he has to have in mind that he's bringing it for that l'shma. And as we learned, if it's not brought l'shma, especially carbon chatas shloi l'shma is like olo balim l'shem chayva. And as we learned at the beginning in the Masechta, a machloikas amaroyim, what is the halacha if somebody brought a carbon chatas and has in mind that you bring carbon chatas, but he doesn't have in mind the avera for which the carbon chatas was brought, will that be fine or not? Amar Rabbi Yossi, continues the Mishnah, Af mishloi hoi b'libe l'shem eshem l'kol eilo, but even if somebody did not have in mind any of these machshavas, kosher. The carbon is still kosher, shoot tonight bezdin, because it's tonight bezdin, shem machshava halachas alacha oivi. The machshava is determined by the one who does the avodah. So this statement of Rav Yossi, first let's learn Pashup Shat and what Rav Yossi is saying. Pashup Shat and what Rav Yossi is saying is that there's a Tanai Bezdin that it's better not to have machshava, because when you have machshava, you can only end up with problems. And we have our halacha that we've learned actually at the beginning of the Masechta, that stam l'shma. If you brought the carbon stam, it's kosher. So therefore, you should not have any machshavas that could cause a problem. So, if that's Pshat Rav Yossi, which it indeed it is, so the Mefarshim have a very hard time understanding the wording of the Mishnah. First, Rav Yossi says, "Af mishloi hoi b'libo l'shem echem kolel kosher," which seems to me that it's kosher. V'lechatchila should have machshava. And furthermore, why does the Mishnah, in explaining Rav Yossi, say Sheinu Machshava Halachas Alayich Oved? That we only look at the kohen who did the avoda. What does that have to do with the rule of Rav Yossi? So Mefarshim explain that Rav Yossi will differentiate between the first two avodas, the first two machshavas that we explained earlier in our shir, the Machshava L'Shem Zevach L'Shem Zeveach, which we learned in the first Mishnah of Ma'amasechta, is such a crucial machshava, that there Rabbi Yossi will agree that the kohen should have those machshavas, whereas the other machshavas, Rabbi Yossi says, we should perhaps not be so concerned. Why? So the Mishnah says, Sheinu machshavas halechas ala achara oivit, since it's the kohen who has to bring, has the machshavas dependent on the kohen, and the kohen has so much going on, and we can't rely, this is all part of understanding Rav Yossi, and we can't rely on the owner's machshava, because says Rav Yossi, "Eina machshava halakas ala akar oivit," the owner has no place in their machshava, doesn't make a difference. We only rely on the kohanim, and we have to be concerned that since the kohanim have so much going on, that's why better not to have any machshava
because you may end up with the wrong machshava.
Ask the Mefarshim that we have a rule throughout Shas, a machloikus throughout Shas, if mitzvah tzrichas kavana or mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana. And even if we hold that lahalocha mitzvah ain't tzrichas kavana, certainly mitzvah tzrichas kavana is better. So how could Rabbi Yossi teach us that we shouldn't have kavana? So according to the way we explain the Mishnah, the Rabbi Yossi agrees that you should have the machshava l'shem zevach l'shem zeveach. That question is not so much of a question. But other mefarshim explain, when were Chazal concerned about mitzvah tzrichas kavana? When you're doing an action that's not obvious that it's a mitzvah. So therefore, the kavana, the mitzvah tzrichas kavana, show that what you're doing is indeed l'shem mitzvah. But in a case like bringing a carbon in the Beis HaMikdash, where it's obvious that your kavana is what you're doing is l'shem mitzvah, that certainly there is no need to have mitzvah tzrichas kavana. Furthermore, Rebbe Ber says that there's a difference between the concept of mitzvah tzrichas kavana and the mitzvah of l'shma. He explains, mitzvah tzrichas kavana means that we know what we're doing is a mitzvah. L'shma has a deeper kavana, and Rabbi Yossi was concerned that a person may make a mistake with that deeper kavana. Another way that the Mefarshim suggest we could understand the opinion of Rabbi Yossi, that it shouldn't be so to speak, self-contradictory, is that Rabbi Yossi will agree that in your heart you should have all six machshavas. But Rabbi Yossi will say that when it comes to expressing, articulating the machshava, one should avoid expressing them. Because since we learned earlier in our Masechta, it's the opinion of Rashi and Tosfos that only if one expresses the wrong machshava does the carbon become possible. So you can have, so to speak, the best of both worlds. Have the proper machshava in your heart, so the carbon will be brought with the proper machshava, but don't articulate the machshava, for Rabbi Yossi's concern that if you're going to articulate the machshava and you end up vocalizing the wrong machshava, you will have disqualified your carbon. There's an interesting vart from the Tver Shloima. He says, "Ein machshava halachas ala achra oivid." When a person comes to oivid, when a person comes to David, that's when machshava begins. That's when all of a sudden all the person's problems and all the person's issues come to his mind. Furthermore, we know that there's a controversy, we've mentioned it previously, if kavanah should be brought nowadays or not. And one of the rayas that kavanah should not be brought, even if halachically one could prove you could still bring a carbon without the Beis HaMikdash, is our Mishnah. Because our Mishnah says that a carbon should be brought l'shem nichoyach, it should be pleasing to Hashem. And the pasuk says that in the time of Golus, v'loy ariach b'reich nichoychachem, that our kabonis cannot be pleasing to God. So explain the Mefarshim. In the time when the Beis HaMikdash was standing, even though the halacha is, as we've learned, that if you didn't have the kabonah l'shem reich nichoyach, the carbon is valid, it's only because potentially you could have had such a machshava. But b'zman hazeh, where it's impossible to do l'shem nichoyach, as the pasuk says, v'loy ariach b'reich nichoychachem, even if a person has a machshava on nichoyach, it's meaningless. Therefore, carbon that can't be brought b'shem nichoyach should not be brought. Says the Gemara Rav Yehuda Marav. Oilo, the pasuk says, oilo l'reich nichoyach isha l'ashem, oilo, if oilo should be brought l'shem oilo loy, lafuke l'shem shlom loy. Comes to teach us that one should bring the oil l'shem oil and not l'shem shlomim. Ishim, when it says that it should be brought l'shem ishim, it should teach us that it should be brought for the sake that it should be burnt by the fire on the mizbeach. Lafuki kababa d'lo. It comes to exclude that it, to have in mind that somebody's only roasting meat, that is unacceptable intent. Reach l'shem reach. The fruke evarim shetzolim, that it comes to teach us that if evarim were first roasted to Helen and then brought in the mizbeach, the law that that's unacceptable. Machlokes achrayim, if somebody did roast the evarim before he put them on the mizbeach, what would be the halacha? The Tashbat says it would be possible. The Chazanish says that it would be kosher. However, the Michas Chinuch and the Chasam Sofer both say that if somebody put salt on the pieces of meat, even though the halacha is meliach kareseach, by salting something is like cooking it, that issue, that it would not be considered a varam shetzolim. Dom Rav Yehuda, Amarav, a varam shetzolim v'helon, if somebody first roasted the meat and then put it on the mizbeach, emam shim reheach, it doesn't qualify for the rule of reach. Michayach, l'shem hanochas ruach, l'shem, it should be made satisfaction to Hashem, l'shem, l'shem mishah mahoya v'ayim. Or you have a rab. Chatos sheshok l'shem oyla, if somebody shechted a chatos, as we learned at the beginning of Masechta, if somebody shechted a kar mechatos shloi l'shma, it's possible. L'shem chulin, but if somebody shechted it for chulin, it's kosher. Amr Belozer, my time is a rav. What is the reason for rav? Because the pasuk says, "V'loychalu as kotch b'nei Yisrael." To teach us, kotchim, mechalim kotchim. A machshava for a different type of kodesh has the ability to disqualify carbon ve'chulin, but a machshava to bring it for chulin doesn't have the ability to be mechal kotchim. Mas of Rava. Ask Rava, Am Rabbi Yossi, we learned in our Mishnah, At Mishlahi Beliba L'Shem Ech Mekal Eilu, Kosher. It's still Kosher, Shetunai Bezdin. Tama, what did the Mishnah say? Shlahi Beliba Klal, that he had no disqualifying Machshava. Our Mishnah seems to say, Hoi Beliba L'Shem Chulin, if he had a Machshava L'Shem Chulin, it would be possible. Am Le Abaya, says Abaya, maybe the way you understand the Mishnah is as follows. If he had no disqualifying machshava, if he had no machshava at all, then the halacha will be that not only is the carbon kosher meratza, it will affect kapara for the owner. How you believe it was shem chulin, but if he had in mind was shem chulin, even though the carbon is still kosher, then meratza, it doesn't affect a kapara for the owner. When we say it doesn't affect the kapara for the owner, does it mean that the owner would have to bring another carbon? Or does it mean that he doesn't have to bring another carbon, it just doesn't, he hasn't accomplished the kapara, but he can't bring another carbon. Bringing another carbon would perhaps be an issue of chulin bazara.